Let us pray. O God, let each one of us, as we are now enabled, listen deeply to the Spirit's word beneath a sermon's inadequate word. And may what we hear from the Spirit redirect our lives, return us to our joy, and to our real work in your world, through Christ our Lord. Amen. About a week and a half ago, I wrote an email to a friend in this church and included a brief description of my family's recent vacation at the beach in Florida. I told her there were 17 of us in one house, all four of my children and the spouses of two of them, and my niece and her family, and all manner of kids from 18 years down to 5 months. And then I added, and I, in my own goofball way, was the Father Abraham of the whole kit and caboodle. Picture us all in a 19th century style brown tilted photograph, me with a longer white beard sitting at the center of the big family, trying very unsuccessfully to look somber. And half a week later, my friend replied last Sunday afternoon and said, "Your Paul as Abraham reference really takes on new meaning after having heard your sermon today. Faith in the face of terra incognita, the unknown world." And I was taken aback to read this. You may or may not know that the sermon last week was based on the story of Abraham pushing on through the unknown. And during the very days I was preparing that sermon, I also wrote that silly description of me as Father Abraham, not even aware of the connection. I mean, the sermon says, "Look at struggling Abraham." The email says, "I'm Father Abraham." Ha ha. It didn't even dawn on me, the connection my unconscious mind, my poor, poor mind, was making. My friend noticed. A good therapist would certainly have noticed and might have said, "Is it possible that means anything to you?" Well, it probably does say something about my personal situation. It most certainly says something about my foggy brain. But it also strikes me as yet another instance of our collective inability to see. The old stories are displaying pictures of us. What we're going through, what we have done and not yet done, what we might yet face, what we might yet become. That when some character in the Bible is struggling, that's our struggle. That their longings and passions and mistakes and sins and opportunities and triumphs are to be recognized as our longings and passions and mistakes and sins and opportunities and triumphs, at least potentially. So thank God so many of those people made it through. that they did live into their calling, no matter how imperfectly, that their lives became mostly a witness to the light, and that all of it is truly possible for us in our own way, in our own rather different time, and that this is God's desire for the world and for us. In our own very different contemporary ways, you and I are Sarah and Abraham. You and I are Miriam and Moses, Joseph and Mary, Simon Peter and John, and as with them, all of it would be for the sake of the world in our time. For our own sakes, too. And so the New Testament letter to the Hebrews, as we have already heard this morning, holds up this fantastic image of this dynamic. It lays out a long, long list of ancient names and stories, men and women from long ago whose lives were lived in the end as faithful. All of them pressing on in faith, all of them dying without having received the promises, but seeing them and greeting them from afar. But then the text suddenly swings the spotlight from them to us and says, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us run with perseverance the race set before us. So here we look around us and see suddenly we are in a gigantic stadium, a really big one, bigger than the big house. And we are on the field. And the stands all around us and above us are packed. The whole crowd is looking at us. We see, excuse me, that we are now standing on a starting line, and we realize we're here to run a race of our own. And the course ahead of us does not look easy at all. It is filled with hazards, hurdles, obstacles, challenges. It goes uphill in places, and it goes on and on for a long, long way. Our English translations have it, the race before us, but the original word is agon. Agon, from which comes our word agony. The challenge is before us to live authentically and courageously and faithfully is hard, because much in the world is against the way to which we are called. And there is much inside most of us that resists that way as well. We will all feel at times like giving up on what we know to be right, shrugging off the high calling, walking away from love's high claim on our lives. This is why the text reminds us that faithful living will require from everybody perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race set before us. God will not work miracles to make the way easy or relieve us from the difficult soul work that is ours to do. So we're to run with perseverance as he perseveres to say the word. And perseverance rarely comes without partners of one kind or another. And we have them. Perseverance also doesn't work very well if we're loaded down with stuff that ruins the project. If the race is hard, how absurd to carry big piles of baggage that hold us back. So our text adds, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Lay aside the baggage, the sin. What baggage? Could be all manner of unworthy attachments. Could be ambition or pride or addictions or self-loathing. It could be that kind of being sick to death of the world as it is, so much that we are paralyzed with despair. Or the baggage could be wanting what doesn't belong to us, or resentment, or always looking backward at the past. Or it could be that curled up inwardly paltriness of soul that refuses to dream the dreams of God. Robert Bly said, we all have a little anxiety belt, an anxiety bag that hangs from our belts, and that every time something threatens us, we slip something into the anxiety bag. And by the time most of us are 50, the bag's 100 yards long, dragging behind us, getting stuck in elevator doors. The same can be said of an institution. It can most certainly be said of a church. And friends, it can be said of absolutely any one of us that we have been loading ourselves down and permitting others to load us down in such a way that we are not living the life we are given right now to live. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, to run the race before us now. And we do it together. Partners. Calling out encouragement to each other. Picking each other up when we fall. Helping each other. Because all of us need that. This is not a race meant to be run solo. If the great company of fellow travelers, it's the great company of fellow travelers that make the race doable and that also make it fun. Have you heard why it is that mountain climbers tie themselves to each other? It's so that the sane ones won't go home. But this fellowship of encouragement, the fellowship of encouragement, is far bigger than us. Take a look now again into the stands of this stadium and see who has come to cheer for us. They're all there, all the people who ran the race before we did. These are the great cloud of witnesses. They are countless and they are beautiful. They are every color, every ethnicity, every generation and gender and historical time, and all of them standing, shining, calling to us. Look, there's old Abraham after all, and Sarah with him. They're laughing and waving diapers. There's Miriam dancing and Moses with his staff saying, "Don't murmur, move." There's Peter waving his fishing net, David playing his harp like electric guitar. There's Martha waving her apron, and there's Mary Magdalene, eyes shining. And then there's Francis of Assisi with a bird on his shoulder, and Martin Luther banging his beer stein on the rail, and John Calvin cheering decently and in order. And there is J.S. Bach and Mozart and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and C.S. Lewis lifting his pipe. There's Gandhi and Rumi, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Marian Anderson, Martin Luther King Jr., John Lewis, James Baldwin, Abraham Joshua Heschel, Mother Teresa, Dorothy Day, Mahalia Jackson, Aretha Franklin, Billy Graham, Harvey Milk, Mary Oliver, Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, Oscar Romero. I see my mother. I see my dad and my brother, all there, all shining. Who do you see? Whom do you see? Parents? Grandparents? Cherished loved ones, inspiring teachers, mentors, good friends, heroes, all finished with their race and all on their feet to cheer you, to cheer us all on. And someone else is there. He stands above the finish line, his face fierce with joy, still shining with the sweat of the race he ran. His arms are open wide, and he's calling out to us two words over and over, "Follow me, follow me." And the crowd takes it up like a chant, "Follow me." It is all right that we cannot see the whole way ahead of us. It is all right that some of it is real struggle, and it is all right that not everybody is coming with us. Look to the cloud of witnesses. Look who is around us. See who is before us. Take heart at who is in it with us. How can we not press on with perseverance for the thrill of the race that now lies before us?